From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the first message of two entitled The Day of Pentecost, part of his series of studies in the book of Acts. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Name to Use. The text is John 14 and verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a wide promise! Anything, whether large or small, all my needs are covered by that word, anything. Come, my soul, be free at the mercy seat, and hear thy Lord saying to thee, Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What a wise promise! We are always to ask in the name of Jesus. While this encourages us, it also honors him. This is a constant plea. Occasionally, every other plea is darkened, especially such as we could draw from our own relation to God or our experience of His grace. But at such times, the name of Jesus is as mighty at the throne as ever, and we may plead it with full assurance. What an instructive prayer! I may not ask for anything to which I cannot put Christ's hand and seal. I dare not use my Lord's name to a selfish or willful petition. I may only use my Lord's name to prayers which he himself would pray if he were in my case. It is a high privilege to be authorized to ask in the name of Jesus, as if Jesus himself asked. But our love to him will never allow us to set that name where he would not have set it. Am I asking that which Jesus approves? Dare I put his seal to my prayer? Then I have that which I seek of the Father.
Yeah.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. The opening verses of Acts chapter 2 set the stage for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was a day which changed the course of history. A small band of weak and insignificant people were used of God to change the world. As the chapter opens, we find them still waiting upon the Lord in prayer. This is always where the believer's instrumentality for God begins. The descent of the Holy Spirit was marked by two phenomena, the wind and the fire. The suddenness of the wind reminds us that God often works suddenly in manifesting his power. The fire symbolized God's person and presence. Now to continue the first of two messages called The Day of Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
And I tell you, it's true of the UK, it's true of America, that unless we have the fire of God in revival, we will have the fire of hell in judgment upon the Lamb. It's going to come. That's the urgency of revival. That's the urgent need for God's people to get out of play acting and out of playing into praying and down to the real business of seeking God for a mighty movement of the Holy Ghost in power. Sodom felt the sudden fire of God's wrath, and so will this land, unless the Lord will yet intervene. Pharaoh, you remember, was the strong man. Like so many sinners, strengthened himself against the Lord, and he, who is the Lord that I should obey him? And you can just see him strutting around like a peacock, the most important man in the world at that time. He didn't need to repent. But then he felt the sudden force of God's wrath. I remember Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those men who would make light of the priestly work, who would do despite to the blood of the sacrifice. Like so many sinners nowadays who have little thought of the blood of Jesus Christ and have little thought of the dignity of his person and his priestly work, and they reject it out of hand. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram certainly found the sudden finality of God's wrath, for they were wiped off the face of the earth. Comes a time when God cuts men down. Job 36 and 18, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then the great ransom cannot deliver thee. I fear when people hold out against God. I fear when children of Christian homes grow up to be hardened to the gospel. As I tell you, there's wrath. May just seem to lie dormant for years, and then there's the sudden explosion of the power of God. Oh, God moves suddenly. It's a warning to every sinner. Thank God it's a comfort to every Christian. It certainly is given here to encourage us that God can and God does break in upon human affairs suddenly. Things are very dark. You look across the land today, you look at the cause of Christ in the land today, it is a dark day. Terrible day. But oh, what an encouragement that the Lord is not dead. That the Lord can suddenly move. I believe in the God of sudden conversion. What must the early church have felt like when Saul of Tarsus was going up and down the land, ravaging the church? When he was compelling people to blaspheme the name of Jesus? When he was putting them to the torture? When he set out for Damascus to bring havoc to the church of Christ? What must the early church have felt like? And then suddenly, like a flash of lightning, God changed it all. And he made the greatest enemy into the greatest saint and the greatest apostle in the early church. I believe in the God of sudden conversions and the God of sudden answers to prayer. You remember in Acts 12, Peter was lying in prison. He was just about to be taken out to be put to death. Speaks wonders for his faith in the Lord. He was fast asleep the night before it happened. I think of Christians nowadays that can't sleep because they have this nitty-gritty little problem on their minds. Here's a man, and he's about to put his head on the chopping block the next morning, and he's fast asleep, chained to the soldiers. I don't know if the soldiers were as deeply asleep as he was. I think maybe the Lord put them to sleep to make sure they stayed that way for a while. But certainly, however hard they found it to get over to sleep, Peter slept. And while he slept, the church didn't sleep. The church prayed. Suddenly, God answered prayer. I believe that God can move in sudden revival. There's a great chapter in Malachi chapter 3. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Oh, let's keep seeking. Let's keep praying. Let's keep waiting on the Lord, because he will suddenly come to his temple. The suddenness of this wind. Just a word about the sound of it. I think it's appropriate that there's an emphasis placed upon the sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Because here we're being led into the book which will sound forth the gospel. And here we have the first sound. It comes from the Lord. Now I want you to notice carefully that it was a sound from heaven. The thought is of the publicity which the Lord was giving to His Word and His work. But the thought is also that God was stamping this with the evidence of heaven. Nobody could be in any doubt. This was not worked up of the flesh. This was not the counterfeit of the devil. This was the sound from heaven. It had the evidence of the Lord all over it. And I tell you that that's the kind of sound we need to hear today. Sadly, the sound that we hear in so many churches nowadays is not the sound from heaven. Sadly, we hear the sounds that we can only wonder where they come from. And so much of what is called the revival that we have been told is sweeping America and has been sweeping it through this decade or the last decade, starting with the hippies and the yippies and the flower people and the rock and rollers and all the rest of that crowd. Of course, it left them hippies and yippies and flower people and rock and rollers. Never changed their lives at all. But so much of that revival, in kindness, we could only say came from the flesh, and if we were pushed to be more strictly honest, we'd have to say it didn't even start with the flesh, but it came from the devil. But certainly there wasn't the evidence of heaven about it. Oh, for the sound from heaven. We are not interested in a counterfeit work. We're not interested in something short of a work of God. We're not interested in something that we can dream up or work up. We're not interested in something that we can organize. Because if you and I can organize it, then it is not the direct, definite, miraculous work of God. Oh. Then you'll notice the significance of it. Throughout the Word of God, the wind of God is always equivalent to a powerful demonstration of the Holy Ghost in all the glory of His majesty and His manifestation. Let me just give you a couple of instances. Remember at the Red Sea, what happened? The wind blew, and it opened a way for the people to cross over. My, what a picture that is. The Holy Ghost grants mighty deliverances for every Christian. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we are told that with every temptation, He makes a way of escape. He can still open up the Red Sea for the believer. He always makes a way of escape. And for the church of Christ at large, doesn't He say in Isaiah 59, 18, that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, and it's interesting that the Red Sea is referred to in the Scripture as the flood, which the Lord opened up. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Thank God, He still makes a way for us to cross over. In 2 Samuel 5, 23, 24, you have the story of the armies of David going out. And the Lord tells him to wait until there is the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And when the wind of God moved through the mulberry trees, then David could move, for he was moving in the train of the triumph of God. Thank God, in the conflict, fighting the battles of faith and truth against the apostasy and the wickedness and the iniquity of this day, there is the power of the Holy Ghost available to guide us to victory. Let's just wait until there's the going in the tops of the mulberry trees. Remember in Job 38 and verse 1, you have the Lord coming to Job after all his long trial and turmoil and trouble. And after it all, God spoke out of the whirlwind. Now, Job had been through a lot. But the Lord didn't immediately come and put his arm around Job and pat him in the back and say, "Now, Job, you've done a good job. I want you to be happy. I want you to be carefree." No, the Lord deepened his misery. That's an interesting thing. The Lord deepened his misery. He broke him completely. Job thought he had been broken by the sores and the boils when his body was so odious to himself and everybody else. He thought he had been broken by the death of his family and the loss of his wealth. He thought he had been broken when his wife bade him curse God and die, and when his friends became mockers to him. But he never really was broken He was bitter. But he never really got broken until the wind of God blew and he met with the Lord. Ah, we come back to this again and again. There'll never be blessing until there's breaking. And the Lord Jesus took the 5 loaves to feed the 5,000. He first blessed it, or break it, and then he blessed it, and then he gave it. There's always breaking before blessing. While we can just saunter through life without a broken and burdened heart for the work of God and for the souls of men, we're not anywhere near revival. Oh, may the wind of God come breaking us today. Then there's a lovely passage in Ezekiel 37. It's the Valley of Dry Bones. What happened? Verse 9, prophecy to the wind. The wind. Of course, the Hebrew scriptures, the wind and the spirit, are the same word. The wind is the very good emblem, then, of the spirit. And here's the emblem of the Spirit of God coming upon the bones that have been dead and dry, and he gives life to them. Oh, that's what we need today. May the Lord indeed come with the wind of God. Then finally, and very quickly, let's look at the fire, the witness of the Lord. When the Lord sent the wind, he sent the fire as well. The Lord Jesus Christ was going, according to the promise, to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And here we have the fire. Verse 3. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now that's a nice thing for us to emphasize. Each of them. It's very rarely you ever get a church really in revival. It's very rarely you'll ever get everybody interested in praying and everybody interested in going through with God. I have never known it. I don't know any other preacher who has ever known it. But I know it happened on the day of Pentecost. The Lord fell on every single one of them. Wasn't one Christian left out. Fell with fire. What a witness that was. Now, we're not going to do a Bible study on it because we'd be here all day. The fire in Scripture is the witness to God's person. Our God, Hebrews 12:29, is a consuming fire. And therefore, it is the witness to the Lord's presence. When you turn to Genesis 15 and 7, you will remember that there in that strange vision, Abram met with the Lord in the fire. In Exodus 3 and verse 2, in the backside of the desert, Moses saw the bush that burned with fire. It was the Lord's presence that was therefore signified. In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 1, the Lord showed his presence at the dedication of the temple when the fire fell upon the sacrifice that was given. It's the emblem of the Lord's person and of the Lord's presence. It is also the emblem of the purity of the Lord and that he brings to his people. I have already mentioned the book of Malachi, chapter 3, and the sudden revival that there is promised. I think you should emphasize one particular aspect of revival. In verse 2 and verse 3, who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? Strange question about revival, isn't it? So many Christians say, oh Lord, visit us with revival. The Lord came down at this very minute in revival. What would it mean to you? What would it mean? Who could stand or abide the day of God's appearing? Look at what it says. He is like a refiner's fire. Like fuller's soap. Verse 3, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's the purification of fire. And when the Holy Ghost falls like fire, it is the witness that God is going through his church and he's purifying it. Why, before there can be blessing, the dross has got to be dealt with. All the accretions of the world have got to be burned out. And oh, that God may fall in that kind of fire today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.